We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
So Zeke Elliott over the football. He's going to snap it to Prescott. Prescott back to pass, throws left, caught by Turpin, hit and dropped. After all that, they throw it to Turpin, tackled at the 30, and the game is over. For a second straight year, the 49ers are going to the NFC Championship game.
An incredible run by the San Francisco 49ers, and we get to take a closer look at the team right now. Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron on 670 The Score. And joining us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline, Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book from Compass Media. Of course, we got Troy Clarity. Troy, good evening. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. How's things going in
Baltimore? We're not as happy as you are, Troy. You're so happy because you got playoff football. We know this. How you guys feeling?
But the Bears are the number one pick. There's got to be some hope there, right?
If you're asking me which I trade for, Troy, got to be honest. I wish I was invested in some Sunday football. Got to be honest with you.
That's fair.
But how are people feeling about the upcoming game this Sunday in the San Francisco area?
Well, they're feeling pretty good about things, and rightfully so. The 49ers, the hottest team in the National Football League, a winning streak that dates back all the way back to mid-October. And you go back to when that streak began. They had just come off a loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, in which the Niners just were not complete. They were not a complete team back at that point in time. And they played the Chiefs close at Levi Stadium, but then Kansas City just found that extra gear, as they are wont to do. And the Niner fan was just in an absolute panic because suddenly the team was 3-4 and Jimmy Garoppolo's not doing this and that. Well, the trade had already been made for Christian McCaffrey at that point, just a couple days before. And C-Mac actually saw a few snaps in that game, but did not make his full-on official debut, I guess, in some sorts, until the next week down at SoFi Stadium against the L.A. Rams, and blew up. He was run CMC, catch CMC, and throw CMC. Touchdown three ways against the Rams, and San Francisco hasn't looked back at all. And I'll tell you, I was driving a couple weeks ago. It was my wife's birthday, and we were driving up to a spot up in Oakland for a birthday dinner. We're sitting on 880, and there's a truck right in front of us. And there was some dirt on the back of the trailer, and someone had finger written into the dirt, Brock Purdy. That tells you everything you need to know about who the big hero around the Bay Area is right now. A guy who probably no one even knew who he was back in mid-October. So folks are feeling pretty good about things right now.
It's really intriguing the way that Kyle Shanahan has been able to make the offense work with Brock Purdy at quarterback. I'm wondering whether it's been, you know, seen like a snippet, an appetizer of Trey Lance in the limited time he's been healthy and available. Been plenty of Jimmy G, like you referenced, and now last couple of months here nearly of Brock Purdy. Is the offense and the way Kyle Shanahan calls it, is it very different with Brock Purdy at QB versus the other guys?
Well, first things first, Big Ant, awesome to be with you. I hope you have been doing outstandingly well, my man. Always great to chat with you. And what's been intriguing to see in some respects with the offense now that Brock Purdy is running the show, because, look, the good news is that he doesn't have to assume a whole lot of the burden that, say, a Patrick Mahomes might have to, or Jalen Hurts probably has to in Philadelphia, even though certainly Jalen has a lot of the weapons around him as well. But when you've got guys like Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, who can just do so many things, and Christian McCaffrey, who's just absolutely blown up, and Trent Williams back at left tackle, when the Niners were kind of having a little bit of a lull, they weren't necessarily very healthy on the offensive line. Trent Williams coming back and solidifying things back on the left tackle, that certainly helped out a lot of things as well. Look, if you can't get right in the trenches, there isn't a whole heck of a lot you can do. You can call the greatest place known to mankind, but they can certainly blow up in your face. And, oh, by the way, there's that George Kittle guy. You know, I mean, the Cowboys played a good game last week overall. Dak Prescott just made a couple of bad throws. They punted a couple times and kicked a couple times in the fourth quarter when they probably shouldn't have. And defensively, things didn't go as according to plan when they had one of their interior linemen get hurt in the middle of the third quarter. After that point on, the Niners were able to run the ball with much more efficiency from there. So, and of course, they also forgot to account for number 85. So there are just so many different weapons and so many different ways that, you know, Kyle Shanahan can turn to if he needs a key first down, if he needs, you know, a big play or anything like that, options that he might not necessarily have had in the middle of the year. So I don't necessarily think that if there are any major differences in how Kyle Shanahan has handled his play calling, it might not necessarily be because of Brock Purdy, even though I'm sure that there are some things that he does that are more amenable to some things that Kyle Shanahan wants to do. But it's probably a bit more of a function of just all hands, for the most part, being on deck. A healthy offensive line, Christian McCaffrey, who's, you know, a bit dinged up, but then again, it's late January, who isn't? And wide receivers who have, for the most part, been ready to go.
We're talking to Troy Clarity here on 670 The Score, Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron. Troy, we were talking to somebody from the Eagles a little bit earlier, and he was mentioning that, you know, the Niners have yet to see a team with a defense the way that the Eagles have. What do you think fears come up for the San Francisco 49ers when thinking about this game on Sunday?
Well, I think one thing to certainly watch, and look, I mean, Brock Purdy is still the question mark, right? I mean, even though we've still seen a lot of what's likable about him, and kids got no fear, man. And that was even evident. Kyle Shanahan, I remember him talking about this, you know, even during OTAs. You know, he certainly noticed that Purdy was a bit more aggressive in his decision making, and he kind of, you know, had the theory that came from him being a 5-year starter pretty much on the collegiate level for Iowa State. He pretty much knew what he wanted to do and was a lot more aggressive in his decision making, even during OTAs and even during mini camps. But by and large, this is still all new to Purdy. We still don't quite know what it looks like when the ceiling drops on him or when the floor drops out from underneath him. Now, I will say this. It's interesting because he tends to have a couple of plays very early in games where you go, uh-oh, is this it? Is this the game where things are finally going to start to go sideways for Purdy? But then he rights the ship, and then the next thing you know, they're scoring points in bunches. I remember when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came here. I actually did that game down at Levi Stadium. And he's either the first or the second snap of the game, Purdy just got absolutely blown up. Front side blitz. No one picked him up. And he just got lit up. And all of Levi Stadium was like, uh-oh, is this it? Well, that ended up being a 35-0 score before 35-7 final over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Cam Purdy, if he has a couple of those plays early on where you're kind of looking and going, uh-oh, is this it? Can he respond and can he rebound from those early plays? Yeah, plus there's a couple of you know, small health things as well. You know, McCaffrey's not 100%. A couple other guys aren't 100% either. Just the normal bumps and bruises and probably more than guys have, you know, this time of year. So, sure, there's and look, the Eagles are a pretty darn good team themselves, too. You know, the other team's on scholarship as well. So there are certainly a lot of things that the Niners are going to have to worry about on Sunday.
And we look at the 49ers defense, and certainly what they do up front is very impressive. We watch closely all the draft capital they've expended over the years, Troy, to make sure the defensive front is sound and deep. In some ways, a similar approach to what the Eagles end up deploying on their defense. when you look at the 49ers defense, how do you see them measuring up to the versatility and the explosiveness that Philadelphia brings to the table on offense?
Yeah, it all starts up front. Nick Bosa's a bad man. If he's not defensive player of the year, then they need to do the recount and kind of reassess, you know, what that award is really all about, because he is an absolute game breaker and at the very least a game alterer. He altered several different throws last week against the Cowboys and at least made his presence felt to where Dak Prescott maybe had to reset in the pocket a little bit to a different position that prevented him from being able to perhaps see open Cowboys down the field or at least make accurate throws deeper downfield. So even when Bosa isn't necessarily racking up sacks or anything like that, he is still altering the game. It normally starts up front with him and Eric Armstead. Fred Warner is establishing himself as one of the better, if not one of the best, middle linebackers in the game right now. Dre Greenlaw is no slouch as well. And the secondary can be a bit hit or miss at times. Jimmy Ward, a lockdown guy. Javarius Warren has done well. Diamador Lenore kind of seems to be a bit of the weak link, but he's come through with some big-time plays throughout the course of the season as well. So, you know, they're playmakers at just about every single position, but they're certainly going to be tested in a lot of different ways and maybe stretched out in a lot of different ways against the Eagles on Sunday. It's going to be a fascinating chess match. I mean, DeMeco Ryans is probably going to be coming soon to a head coaching suite near you. Well, maybe not near you. I mean, I don't know. Let's see what happens, you know, with the Bears in the near future. But, you know, DeMeco Ryans, an absolute wizard at defensive coordinator. I cannot wait to see the chess match between the Niners defense and the Eagles offense, as multifaceted as both of those sides of the ball are.
Now, Troy, there are a ton of questions that I would love the answer for, specifically from you surrounding the San Francisco 49ers, but there's just one question that is just rises to the top, and it is, how did you end up with two different Adidas on your feet when you were out and about? What happened there?
Thanks. Oh, thanks. I knew I was going to regret posting that. I don't know. I was going to the gym, and I was not really thinking, and I put one shoe on, and I put the other shoe on, and you know, I head downstairs. I get in the car. I head down to the gym, and I hop out of the car, and I start walking towards the front door, and something doesn't feel quite right as I'm walking, and I look down. Oh, Troy, you are the biggest moron on the face of the earth. It happens.
I love it, man. One soccer shoe, one cross training shoe, but I like. You know what it is though, Troy? You're dedicated. You're focused. You got tunnel vision.
Right.
You're looking at the
gym,
right. And that's it, right?
That's right. Small details, whatever. Just give me the big ideas.
and Troy, you've gotten to, like, for so many years, you know, you and I worked together at the Pac-12 Network and other spots, and so you've gotten to call collegiate sports for so long, and now you've had the opportunity this past season to cover the NFL, to call a bunch of National Football League games for Compass Media. What was that experience like, making that transition to the pro game after being in so many college stadiums over the years?
Boy, dream come true. Absolute dream come true. You know, it's something that you think about, you know, wow, could that be me? Could that happen? Oh, boy, it would be nice if it did. And, you know, just an absolutely incredible experience. And the crews that I got a chance to work with, you know, I mean, people would ask me, you know, oh, were you nervous or anything like that? I'm like, no, I never really got nervous at all before any of those games. I got a chance to do four NFL games for Compass this past fall, including that Niners-Rams game in which Chris McCaffrey blew up. And that, you know, Niners haven't lost a game since I called that one for them. Interesting. That just kind of occurred to me. But, you know, I knew that. You know, with the crews around me, you know, Brian Baldinger is as good as it gets as far as an analyst is concerned, as far as breaking down the game. I knew with those guys around me, how could I be nervous? They're not going to let me fail, you know, as long as I don't screw it up, you know. everything should be okay, but just an absolutely fantastic experience, you know, and just an honor to be a part of.
That's awesome, man. We can't wait to hear you call more games in the
Me
future.
Too.
I know, right? Troy Clarity hanging out with us, man. We appreciate you giving us some of your time on a Friday. Fantastic stuff.
You got it. Always appreciate it. Big Ant, stay safe, stay healthy, stay sane. Fellas, we'll talk to you all again soon.
That's right.
Appreciate you, brother.
Troy Clarity, of course, from Compass Media, as Ant mentioned, play-by-play for the Pac-12, bunch of NFL games as well. I love his energy. I got to be honest. Yeah. You know, we talk to a lot of people on this station, but when you get a guy with some good energy and good vibes, I can feel it through the airways, man. So thanks for bringing him on, Ant. That was awesome.
And that's the thing, man. Like, you know, obviously, you know, it's big news the last couple of days here in the city. A talent like Jason Benetti getting to stay with the White Sox. We're going to still have the pleasure of listening to him on Sox games as well as all these national broadcasts over the years. So you get that Jason Benetti level story where guys like broken through all the way to the top of the industry. Then you got a guy like Troy who's been kind of plugging along. Called, you know, he's called arena football in the past. He's
right.
Done radio. He's done TV. He's been a writer. He's done so many different things and now getting more and more opportunities in the industry. And frankly, there's only so many black play-by-plays in the industry also. And so Troy, you know, breaking through in that regard as well, now getting some national radio opportunities with the National Football League. And just a good dude and a good friend of mine. And like we mentioned, getting to work with him back at the Pac-12 Network. Everybody give Troy a follow on Twitter as well, at Troy Clarity, C-L-A-R-D-Y. Like Gabe mentioned there, you heard the energy just kind of bubbling through the line. He just loves being around sports, loves being around young people and calling the games at a really high level.
Yeah, we love people like that on the show, and that's why we've got a jam-packed show for you guys, just kind of talking about the NFL playoffs that are happening this weekend. Tried to give you an insight to each team's thoughts and processes. And coming up next, we got the last team that we've yet to talk about. It is the Kansas City Chiefs. And we get one of my former co-hosts. Did a BetQL thing here and there. And Alex Gold, one of my guys, is going to be hanging up with us after the break. What stories can he tell you about me? Oh, I paid him not to do any of those. But we will hear some stories about the Kansas City Chiefs on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Anthony Herron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Mahomes under center, gets the snap, fakes the handoff, rolls to the near side, cocks his arm, short pass, caught by Kelce, 5, runs along the hash mark and into the end zone. Touchdown, Chiefs! Short pass, down the middle, Kelce by himself with the belt-high catch, spotted on the grass on the hash mark, it led him right into the end zone, and the Chiefs have taken the first lead halfway through the first quarter in this divisional game.
Do we have to play highlights from other teams before we bring these guys on? You know how heartbreaking it is as a Bears fan to have to listen to all this success and know it has nothing to do with your team at all? Come on, Leo.
Sorry about that, guys.
I'm sorry. Leo Stoddard, our producer extraordinaire today. You're breaking my heart. Saving the best for last, but I understand. He is my good friend. We hosted a show on BetQL together. He is the host of Cody and Gold in Kansas City, 610 Sports KC. And he's joining us right now on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is none other than my guy, Alex Gold. Alex, what's going on, man? Are you in a lake house now or what? Tell me where you're at.
What's up, man? It's good to be on with you. You know, if you want to know the truth, I am currently parked in my car outside of a bar waiting to go in and have a beer. It's been a hell of a week. When we're done with this, man, it's my first. I've been doing a bunch of hits across the country. I would rather, you know, it wouldn't have it any other way. I'd rather be talking playoff football with you guys and with everybody. We're kind of spoiled in Kansas City that we've been doing this really now for 5 straight years, talking about the Chiefs in an AFC title game and hosting one. So it's pretty wild, but it's a lot of fun.
Alex, is there any worry over there in KC, I feel like, you know, because you guys have been so successful, you know, over the last couple of years now, like sometimes I remember what that was like in the 90s with the Bulls. You just kind of expected to win. Is that where you guys are at right now, or is there some worry?
Yeah, you know, so I think people expect to maybe be in the AFC title game where they're at, but not expecting that to win this game per se. I think the confidence level has increased as the week has gone on, but fans are nervous. I mean, this is a Cincinnati team, as everybody knows by now, has beat them three straight times. And even if the margin of defeat has been so small, it's not like Cincy's dominated these games. It's been 27-24, 27-24, and then a three-point margin in the first game going back a year and a half or so ago. So it's not like Chiefs fans are like, man, can't beat Cincinnati, but it's also like, why is this team so problematic? And, there's a bunch of answers to that. I think first and foremost, for me at least, has been one team has closed out games in the fourth quarter because the Chiefs have had double-digit leads twice. They've had a single-digit lead this last go-around, but a lead in the fourth quarter entering every single one of these three games. Cincinnati's not made the mistake. Cincinnati has been able to seal these games, and Kansas City just hasn't been able to finish.
It's kind of crazy that this is the first time that a Patrick Mahomes-led Chiefs team is the underdog in a playoff game, and it's not a spot we've ever gotten to witness them in. You add in, and I'm sure it's a big factor, you know, in addition to just the Joe Burrow hype, but the Patrick Mahomes foot. How much are the Chiefs leaning into their underdog, you know, sort of mentality that's now this opportunity that they have?
I think it's been more of a fan thing this week. You know, fans certainly are enjoying the fact that they can kind of claim to be the underdog, although as the week has gone on, the Chiefs are back to being favorites. If we're just going off of, you know, the Vegas line, they're back to favorites despite all the line movement earlier on. Patrick Mahomes was asked about being an underdog, and his response was he never considers himself an underdog when he steps on the field, specifically at Arrowhead. But in terms of, you know, where this organization is at, you guys started the conversation talking about the five straight title games, and we joke that it's called the Arrowhead Invitational here in Kansas City. Like all that, like you kind of expect it, you know. And so with that, you know, it's weird to be in a spot where I think it's one of the few times. The only other one I can point to in a playoff game was maybe Mahomes' first year as a starter, 2018. It's Tom Brady and the Patriots coming to Arrowhead. Brady ends up winning in overtime and going to another Super Bowl. But that was the only other time where I think going into a playoff game where you could say, you know what, their opponent's better than them. I think they're neck and neck, but you can make a very strong argument that Cincinnati's better. I've been talking for the last month or so here locally and on the BetQL shows that Gabe referenced about the Cincinnati Bengals. To me, were the best team in the AFC going into the postseason. And we saw what they just did to Buffalo. And I have no problem, or I had no problem, when Cincinnati was listed as favorites for part of this week.
Yeah, no problem with that at all. You guys need something to kind of get your spirits up over there. We're talking to Alex Gold from 610 Sports Kansas City, host of Coldy and Gold, and also does some stuff on the BetQL network as well. Alex, speaking of BetQL, you mentioned the line movement and stuff like that. I know you got some player props up your sleeve. I know you, and I know you have some player props. So help the Chicago audience win some money. What's a nice player prop you like for the game on Sunday?
Yeah, let's attack a couple. First of all, let's take a look at the running back situation. I think Isaiah Pacheco, last check, around 48.5 rushing yards is where his over-under is set for this game. And I think that's too low, guys. I mean, he's gone over that number about 11 or 12 times this year. He ran for over 60 in the first matchup against Cincy. And to me, he's the guy that can help you close out a football game with his running style, his energy level. And you know, I don't know how much more, because of the ankle injury, they're fully going to rely on the run. I think they should do it more, but I don't necessarily believe Andy Reid's ever going to run the football a bunch more than normal. That's just not his style. It just never has been. I've kind of come to grips with that. But in the fourth quarter, maybe they're willing to do it a little bit more. So I think Isaiah Pacheco's rushing total is too low. I think he can get you well over the 48. And then I also like an anytime touchdown for Kadarius Toney, who, you know, his receiving total is only in the 30s, so I don't like to mess with the yardage for him, because I don't necessarily think he's going for, you know, five catches for 70 yards or anything. But I think an anytime touchdown about plus 240, jet sweeps all day. Like I think you're going to see multiple jet sweeps with Kadarius Toney to test the speed of Cincinnati's defense on the edge, and I don't believe they've faced a player kind of with his skill set in terms of how shifty he is this season, because he did not play in the game when they faced each other in week 13. So those are two that I really like.
On the whole, you know, you got the over-under at 47.5 for the game, it looks like right now. Do the playoffs tend to favor either direction, especially in a matchup like this where you got two top-flight quarterbacks with all the headlines going into it? Do folks tend to favor the over or the under in a matchup like this?
Yeah, so, I mean, between these teams in general, I mean, based off of where we know the last two scores have been, I mean, it's gone over what that number is set, right? I mean, 27-24 in the last two matchups, and so these two quarterbacks have got you your over if you're just looking at it from that perspective. You know, the weather is not going to be a huge factor in terms of precipitation like we saw in Buffalo where, you know, we know it was snowing in the middle of the game. I think it impacted Buffalo's ability to get after Joe Burrow. It's going to be cold, all right? It's January football. Wind chill will be about 8 degrees once you get to the second half, but it's not going to snow. There's a chance that maybe it's 15-mile-per-hour wind. So I don't know how big of a factor the weather is going to be. My thought on the total, the reason why I think it lends itself towards the over is not only these two quarterbacks, but the game script for this football game on Sunday, I don't think it's going to be, you know, a blowout either way. I think it's going to be another really close contest between two teams, and so I don't think either team is taking their foot off the gas or anything like that to where I think we'll see some fourth down attempts. I don't think either team's going to give up an opportunity on a fourth and two, you know, on the plus side of the ball, on the football side of the field, I should say, and punt it like we've seen some other coaches do. Not when you got Burrow, not when you have Mahomes, even if he has this high ankle sprain heading into the game.
We're talking to Alec Gold here on 670 The Score. It's Gabe and Ant. You know, you're talking about Patrick Mahomes, and obviously he's dealing with his ankle issue, but this year has been exceptional for Patrick Mahomes, even for a Patrick Mahomes type quarterback. I mean, what is something that you see maybe that's been different with Pat this year and how he's tackled the season? Is it distribution of the football? I mean, obviously no Tyreek Hill. Like what have you seen personally from him that kind of makes this season somewhat stand out compared to the others?
You know, Gabe, I think it ties in perfectly to this opponent because let's go back to the AFC title game last year, and we know what Cincinnati tried to do and did it well, right? In the second half, it was the worst second half in half of football in Mahomes' NFL career and maybe one of the worst halves of his entire NFL or football career period, I should say. And that was, you know, just only rushing three, dropping back in coverage, making him take the underneath stuff. He wasn't really ready to do that, and I didn't think they were deep enough at wide receiver last year to do so. We all know Tyreek Hill is incredible and had a great year down in Miami. That's not taking anything away from him, but I think the adjustment we saw offensively that led them to actually being the number one offense in football even without Tyreek Hill was, all right, we're going to spread this ball around a lot more. We know Travis Kelce is essentially a number one wide receiver. He's a future Hall of Famer, but we think, you know, looking at the depth chart, right, all right, we're going to be deeper. And I think they executed that to perfection. Mahomes adjusted his playing style a little bit, willing to take what's underneath a little bit more, but also distribute the ball. I mean, in one particular week, it might be Juju as the guy. We know Kelsey's always there. And then, you know, occasionally it might be someone like Justin Watson coming up with a big catch or so. Jerick McKinnon came on strong in the passing game out of the backfield for them for about a seven-week stretch or so heading into the postseason. So I think he's gotten more patient, willing to take what's there. I mean, they haven't had the huge deep play that goes for 70 yards, but if you look it up, big play passes over 25 still were top five, top three in football this year. So it's not the same as, hey, throw a 10-yard pass and Tyreek Hill's going to take it 70 yards. That doesn't exist anymore for them, unless you believe Kadarius Toney might end up being that for them. Otherwise, it's just kind of slowly work your way down the field, but they still are able to get a little bit of yard after the catch with, you know, Travis Kelce, who seems to just be slippery, even if he's getting up there in age. If for whatever reason, teams continued to struggle with him, and he's kind of just been a freak in the postseason throughout his entire career.
It's a really banged up Cincinnati offensive line that still just managed to control that game throughout last week. Is there an advantage when the Chiefs defense takes the field? Is there any advantage you see that they can try to exploit against the Bengals?
So there should be, but this is the number one concern, I think the number one deciding factor in this game. We can talk about the ankle, Mahomes all we want, and this Chiefs offense. I think it's what you're bringing up right there, and it is this Chiefs defensive front, and are they able to take advantage, finally, of an offensive line that's missing three starters? As you said, Buffalo did not do that last week. Kansas City has really struggled in this 3-0 stretch for Cincy against them to get pressure on Joe Burrow and to get sacks. They got one sack in Week 13, but you go back and watch that game, essentially was a play where Burrow gave himself up, and so it was kind of a gimme sack. Last year in the AFC title game, all they probably needed was one sack, one big play from Chris Jones or somebody else. They couldn't get it. And so to me, if you look at the scenario on Sunday night, it's Arrowhead, it's AFC title game, three offensive starters on the line are out. You got Chris Jones, you got a defense that is number two in sacks. If you cannot get to Burrow and actually get sacks this go around, then when's it going to happen? I mean, there's no excuse, frankly. There's no excuse that they cannot do it this go around. And to me, they're going to have to. They cannot win this football game against Cincinnati if Joe Burrow is just carving them up, sitting back there like he was with the soft zone coverage back in week 13. Chris Jones, Frank Clark, George Karlaftis, that group of guys up front have got to make life miserable for Joe Burrow.
And what's funny is that the Buffalo Bills thought that very same thing. Like, we need to get after the quarterback, and we see what that happened. Now, I know you think the Chiefs are going to win, and before we let you go back to your bar, who are the Chiefs going to be playing in the Super Bowl?
You know, so I think they're going to be playing Philadelphia if they win. I would prefer, and I think Chiefs fans prefer San Francisco for a couple reasons, right? Because, one, they played each other earlier this year, and San Francisco gave up 44 points to Kansas City. The last loss for the Niners, I believe, was to Kansas City. And that was the first game for Christian McCaffrey. So the Chiefs got fortunate that they weren't dealing with the full arsenal there. That was Jimmy Garoppolo as the starter. But I'll still look at a Super Bowl where you tell me the third-string quarterback is starting, even if he's played great, like Brock Purdy has, versus Jalen Hurts, who is probably going to finish second in MVP voting this year. So it's pretty simple for me on that matchup. I already looked at the look-ahead lines that are out there at, you know, BetMGM or FanDuel or wherever, and the Chiefs would be about a one-point favorite, it looks like, on a look-ahead line against San Francisco.
I love it, man. Alex, I appreciate you, brother. Make sure you take a shot with your first beer, though, just so you can get right to the level.
Look,
you know?
Okay. I haven't even stepped foot inside the bar yet. That's so, yeah, trust me, it's been a long week. I'm ready for a couple beers.
I love it, man. Hey, have a great weekend. Enjoy your Sunday. I'm sure you guys are going to win. I'll be cheering for your team. And it's great talking to you, brother. Great talking to you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Of course. Alex Gold, host of Cody and Gold. And that betting show on 610 Sports Kansas City, good friend of mine. I brought up the joke at the very beginning, and because we would be doing these shows, BetQL on Saturdays, and he would always be at a lake house. And he's like, "Yeah, with the guys right now, we're at the lake house, so I'm kind of faded right now, but I can get through this show." And I was like, "Be like, damn, bro, you're having the best summer ever. This is crazy."
Getting it in.
But he's a really good dude, man. Alex Gold, make sure you guys, like you mentioned, just about Troy, man, go follow him at Alex Gold, local guy, Kansas City, like bleeds Kansas, everything, huge Kansas Jayhawk fan. That's where he went to school. So he's all about the Chiefs. So I would just give him a ton of crap. I'd always be like, "Oh, it must be nice. Patrick Mahomes. You don't really got to worry about it. You have no, like, nothing. You just win and you feel good." And I had to hate it even more because I was representing Chicago. So whenever we'd be talking about the Bears, I'd be like, "I don't want to talk about the Bears with you and Patrick Mahomes. I don't want to do this." But
well, maybe it's aspirational, you know, like Leo playing the highlights coming into the segment. There's something aspirational about it. You say, you know what, now the Bears can aspire towards these squads we're talking about this weekend.
Yeah, we did a good job covering everybody. I think if you were on the fence.
Man, from the rooter to the tutor.
Right? If you were on the fence about this weekend's games, I mean, we just literally gave you insight from people that are in these locker rooms, that are following these teams day in and day out. And now you should have a better idea of who you think is going to win. Who do we think is going to win these games on Sunday? We'll finally give you our picks. Leo, you think of yours too. We'll pick your brain also, all right? It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Heron. We'll give you our final NFL weekend predictions after the break. It's 670 The Score.
Anthony Heron and Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Hey. Now, our producer, Leo, I told him, I said, play some music like some Friday night music on this last break. This is what he came up with for you, Anthony Heron. Hello, just say hello. You know, do you even know what song this is, Leo? You're too young. Bust the move.
You want it. You got it.
Yeah. And you just got a little bit of a delay,
So, yeah, I know.
Because I just want people to know that, like, you're typically on beat. You know,
I do have some rhythm. Yeah, it's,
you got it's, rhythm. You know, it don't sound like it right now.
Right, when I'm on remote, yeah, it's a little different. That's why I'm hesitant. I'm more hesitant to sing with the music when I'm working remotely versus when I'm in there in the studio.
You know what I always think about? It's funny that we're talking about this right now, because I think about when I watch news anchors, or not news reporters, I should say, that are on assignment somewhere on the street, and there's always that awkward, extremely awkward 4-second pause that we all know exists because there's like a delay there. Right. And I always thought to myself, like, man, if I was a veteran, I would just start talking over people, you know, like I would anticipate them closing and be like, well, we're going to be da 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 da. Hey, everybody. And then you just anticipate it, because I feel like after a while you figure that out. But maybe that's just the numbers guy inside of me that's trying to do some algebra problem and be like, I'm not going to look like an idiot. Because don't they look stupid? It's like a four or 5 second delay often. And then,
especially if they're like way overseas somewhere. Oh my God. Like, it's one thing if they're just down the street with a sat truck. But it's another thing if you're on the other side of the globe and you're waiting for the signal to ping off the satellite somewhere and it's pinging down to where you're at on the other side of planet Earth. You know, they're over in Australia in the outback somewhere, like we were talking about earlier. It's a different deal.
And then they make the mistake too often where they then ask like stupid follow up questions. It's like, dude, he can't hear you. Move on. Why are you like, Tim, one more question, Tim. So out there when you're looking and you're like, and he's like, bye, everybody. See you later. They're like, wait, you go. You're like, guys, just start talking 4 seconds ahead of time and you never have to have that issue. We don't have that issue at all here on 670 The Score. It's Gabe Ramirez, Anthony Herron, wrapping up your Friday night right now. And we've had, I mean, what a show. I don't even think we understood how great of a show we had today with talking to reporters from, you know, the NFL, Cincinnati, Philly, San Francisco, Kansas City. And now, after listening to all that, we get the opportunity to go ahead and make our predictions for this weekend's game. So let's start with the Niners and the Eagles. Eagles favored by 2.5 in this one, over under sitting at 46.5. Let's go to Leo first. Leo, who you got winning this game, and what do you think about the over under?
Well, I think winning this game, I mean, we've kind of heard a lot about it, where you got the 49ers with their third string quarterback versus Jalen Hurts, MVP candidate. I'm going to go with the Eagles there. Also, just for the fact that I want to see some crazy celebration videos from Philly. I think Philly fans are going to go nuts if they win. So I'll see that. And then what's the over-under at?
46.5.
I'll take that. I'll go over with that.
Over on that one?
Yeah.
All right. Here's the thing, guys. There's one thing I've learned from gambling. It's that whatever you think is going to happen usually doesn't. If it does, then we'd all be rich. And that's not the case, right? And it seems obvious in this one, or you would think it's obvious to envision a Philadelphia Eagle victory, because that's what's supposed to happen. But Vegas would lose a lot of money if that were the case. So I am only because I lose a lot of money in gambling am I going with the San Francisco 49ers. Because sometimes you got to fade yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you think you know what you're talking about, but you got to be like, that guy doesn't know a thing at all. And you got to fade yourself. So I'm going San Francisco 49ers. And oddly enough, I'm going to take the under. 46.5 is, again, I'm just going off of my experience of losing money on these apps. 46.5 is a trap number, Anthony Herron. It is a number that you look at and you say, oh, 46? Easy. Over. And that's exactly what Vegas wants you to do. And you know what the total is going to be? 46 exactly. Mark my words. Because no one's stupid enough to bet the under thinking that there's going to be 40, 42 points in this game. But it's going to be 46. It's going to be that kind of a game. And so, you know, bet wisely and bet with Vegas is what I'm trying to tell you. And what do you think about this game in particular?
Man, I feel exactly what you're saying. I do, because, you know, San Francisco, they got good momentum. What ends up making me pause about the 49ers, aside from just the immense challenge of being on the road in Philly and the Eagles defense and their versatile offense and everything else, but then you also have this rookie at quarterback. You haven't had a rookie advance to the Super Bowl as a QB, win the Super Bowl as a QB. Brock Purdy is in position to get them to that stage. But I watched this dude in college, man. I mean, you know, and this isn't – well, I got to be real. Part of it might be, you know, my Hawkeye, you know, kind of fandom, my Hawkeye heart. I'm trying not to just be anti-Cyclone here. That being said, though, I watched him. He early in his Iowa State career, Brock Purdy was a guy who the Cyclone fans, Iowa State fans, thought he wasn't even going to finish his career at Iowa State. He was going to go to the NFL early. So I do think there's a storyline about Brock Purdy that's painted as kind of this overachiever who was exceptional his entire college career, but just because he doesn't have the measurables, that's the only reason he was Mr. Irrelevant. He was Mr. Irrelevant because he really didn't play that well closing out his college career. Like, he accumulated a lot of numbers, but where kind of that freshman, sophomore year time frame, he was kind of this meteoric sort of riser. Then the last couple of years with all these expectations on him, that was when his game fell off, and especially against the best defenses, against great pass rushes, against tight coverage in the secondary, and when the expectations were there for Brock Purdy, that's when things fell apart on him. So, you know, I think you got a little bit of a Cinderella deal with the glass slipper. Does it still fit? All that kind of stuff is going to kind of come together here on the road, hostile environment against a great Eagles defense. That, to me, is where we're going to see a version of Brock Purdy that's going to put Kyle Shanahan in a position where he's behind the chains. He's going to have to ask Brock Purdy to make some throws. I'm going to believe it when I see it. Give me the Eagles defense over that 49ers. As versatile as that offense is, Eagles got playmakers everywhere on D. So that, to me, is the huge advantage for Philadelphia in this game. Give me the Eagles with the 2.5 there. I'm taking Philly in that one.
I like it. Before we move on to the other game, Ant, just talk to me a little bit quickly about flying across country, right? You hear that a lot from teams and how it affects them and such. And so do you feel like that'll have any kind of effect whatsoever? You think these guys are going to be on a different planet ready for this game?
You know what, man? It is noteworthy, but that aspect of it where, you know, the game is going to be, it's going to be what, a 3 Eastern game, so that's noon Pacific. You know, it's not like it's going to be like a noon Eastern game where their body clocks are going to be on like a 9 a.m. Pacific type of vibe. So I think they should be fine from that perspective, because at least with it being conference championship weekend, game's going to be a couple hours later than even the early window normally would be. So, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that's worthy of consideration, but I don't think it's going to be a big deal because it's conference championship weekend and the game's that much later.
I like it. All right, let's go to the other side. Go to the AFC. Cincinnati going down to Burrowhead to try to get themselves a victory against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Our producer, Leo Stodeher. All right, who you got in this game?
I'm going to go with KC here. I feel like, you know, it's their home game in their stadium. They lost to the Bengals there last year. There's a little bit of that bulletin board material, and that, you know, you can't sleep on Patrick Mahomes too much in playoffs, even if he's not at 100%.
All right, what do you think about the over-under sitting at 48?
I'll go with the over on that one, too. I'm liking the overs this weekend. Let's ride high.
And, like, literally, Vegas looks at Leo Stodeher and is like, yes, come bet all that money.
I'm a sucker for that. Let's go.
But look, he got the Eagles in the over and the Chiefs in the over. That's what everybody in the world thinks. And everybody, Vegas is not going to allow everybody to win money. That's not what they're going to allow people to do. But I the thing is this. I agree with you, right? Like, right. I think that is the play. However.
You've lost a lot of money, so you know what's going on.
Yeah. So I think that when a team has your number, it's one thing to beat them twice, right? Because that's hard in itself. The other team feels lost. They're trying to play harder the second go-around. But to do it three times, the level of confidence that exists there is like everyone is wrong about the Kansas City. Not me. I'm not saying that. That's what Bengals fans and the Bengals team are saying. Everyone is wrong about this Kansas City team. We are better than them, and no one else can see that. So I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals in this one. I like the Chiefs, but I think they're like I don't want to talk trash about them because they're great, but I just think Cincinnati is a team that wants it more, and I think that they're where I thought they'd have a Super Bowl hangover. I think they're going to come through in this one, and I think just like the last game, I think it's going to go – no, this one's going to go over for sure. I think this it has to. Yeah. This is like
right.
this two
right.
teams, two offensive juggernauts right here. But that's my take. And what do you think about this game?
It definitely feels that way. It feels like a game that's going to hit the over, and I know everybody's probably hammering the over, but it's hard to imagine it won't go that route. And with the two quarterbacks, you know, we had Lindsey Rhodes on earlier in the show. We both completely agreed with what she was talking about, that it feels like the notion that Joe Burrow is already a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes feels laughable
ridiculous.
Right now. Talk to me a couple years from now after he's accumulated more individual accolades, after he's actually got a Super Bowl ring, multiple trips, you know, deep into the postseason, that sort of thing. But just one versus one individual matchup, I think it's way too soon to start saying that he's the best quarterback in football. Let's watch it play out a little bit longer. I mean, even with the regular season, you know, you compare the two dudes in the regular season. Like, yes, postseason accolades, they matter a lot. But, you know, he's amongst the upper echelon regular season QBs. And then, yes, now you got a second season in a row with him getting it done in the postseason. But we've been watching Patrick Mahomes advance to at least the AFC title game every year he's been a starter.
That's so insane.
Multiple Super Bowl trips. Like, let's allow Joe Burrow to accumulate more of a body of work first. However, this is definitely
I didn't know there was going to be a however, Ant. Wow.
He's got the opportunity to make that happen this weekend. I'm going to say, though, the Chiefs are rarely in a position where they can say, we're the ones being discounted, we're the ones being doubted. You take that intangible edge into a home atmosphere at Arrowhead, the home, anybody who's been there who knows how it goes during the anthem, where as opposed to the home of the brave, everybody says it's the home of the Chiefs. And it's one of these rare NFL atmospheres that does feel like you're at a college football game. It's a really rabid environment they have there. You got a hobbled Patrick Mahomes. You got Chris Jones in the Bart Scott mode addressing the media, just like Clubber Lang style, just feeling like everything is against him, and just got that dog that seems like it's about to come out. Give me the Chiefs in this game, man.
I like it. And you know what? Before we like put a bow on this whole thing, you know, when looking at the Chiefs, I asked Alex Gold this, and I kind of talked to Lindsay about it as well. Let me just quickly go through their last series of games for the Kansas City Chiefs. Jacksonville, Las Vegas, Denver, Seattle, Houston, Denver. That was that stretch of wins that they've had. The 6-game winning streak the Kansas City has. Those are not good teams, all right? Mm-hmm. The very game after that second, or before that second Denver one, was against Cincinnati, and that's the one they lost. So going up against a formidable opponent there. Before that, Rams, Chargers, who are good, Jacksonville, Tennessee. I mean, that's tough. I mean, because you're really not, your knife's not sharpened as much as you would like it to heading into this game against Cincinnati. So that's the only thing I'm worried about.
Okay.
But you know what? Kansas City, it's going to be a great game. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
I'm going to be glued to the TV on Sunday. All right. We are about to get up out of here. Want to go ahead and thank all of our guests for today. And we had a lot of them. Darnell Mayberry, who jumped on to talk about the Bulls. Lindsay Rhodes, Josh Tolentino, Troy Clarity, and of course, Alex Gold. A big thank you to each and every one of you that helped out in today's show. Got to thank, probably the biggest thank you for today, Leo Stoddher, doing a great job getting the guests, getting him on the phone, playing the good audio. Appreciate you, brother. Hope you have a great weekend. And then, of course, Anthony Herron, man. Great show today.
Gabriel. My pleasure, my friend. I'm going to have to holler at you, about a week from now or whatever, man. I'll be out for a little while, but it's always fun.
Hey, you might be hollering at me before that with some other stuff. All right.
Right.
All right. We're about to get up out of here. Mi gente,
definitely
my people.
Feel you.
Until next time, hasta la próxima. I'm Gabe Ramirez. He's Anthony Herron, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.